here on Sunday Arts Joy 94.9.
Now, we're going to keep the conversation about the triennial NGV going with, as I said, a friend of the show and asset of the show, Jane Connery.
Asset, I like that.
Absolute asset. And obviously, you are all about the world of design and the impressive people that are in that world. And you've got a very special person today related to the triennial.
I do. And what's really interesting about the triennial this year is that it is trying to cross over the connection between art and design, and they're doing it really, really well. So my guest today is part of the local contingent of the show and has been exhibiting group and solo exhibitions since 1997. Her work can be found in collections across the world, including the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts and the Sydney Museum of Contemporary Art. You might be hard-pressed to pick her work out of a lineup, though. She never seems to use the same materials twice. One work might be made from wool and hanging on a gallery wall, and the next might be an outdoor installation made up of neon lights, which I think is at Monash Clayton. I've seen that. Her contemporary art will get you thinking about data and statistics, which always attempts to represent the unrepresentable. Louisa Bafadichi, welcome to Broad Designs.
Thanks, Jane. It's really great to be here.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. Now, your work's been to Japan, Romania and the USA and Italy. Yep. Which we found that's what your name's from, and I can't say it very well. What has brought you to be part of the NGV Triennial?
Well, it was a whole series of events, and I had an exhibition at the Anna Schwartz Gallery in 2015, and the work there was bought by the NGV, I think particularly to be in this exhibition. So it means a lot to me, I have to say. My mum keeps telling me about how when I was a baby, she would change my nappy on the floor of the Great Hall when we went on our visits to the gallery. So, you know, ever since I was a kid, I've had an association going to the NGV. I used to go with my friends when I was a teenager, and I've been a lot as an adult. And now I take my daughter. She's 8 years old.
Gorgeous.
And we take our drawing materials and go and sit in front of some work and practice our drawing, and it's just so much fun. It's a really great way to spend the day.
And it is lovely being a local, because you are a Melbournian, and at this huge Melbourne, well, exhibition based on the global scene, it's fantastic. And I've got to say that the old carpet at the NGV used to be baby poo yellow. So do you remember?
Yes.
It was so right. 70s. It was so terrible. I can imagine changing a nappy there. Anyway, now your work on display is called The Sea Between A and I. Is it A and I? 2014-15, which is described as a suite of 8 needle points. So can you explain this work to us? It's always hard talking about artwork on the radio sometimes. So what does it look like?
It is. So I'll tell you a bit about what it looks like, and then I'll talk about what it's made of, perhaps, and then we can talk about the content of the work.
Great.
So the works are needle points, and so they're made stitched wool into fiberglass fly screen. Their colours are blues, greys and blacks, and they're abstract and amorphous kind of shapes. They're fairly small. The smallest one's 18 by 18 centimetres and the largest one's about 38 by 60 centimetres. And they're floating in the screen. So they're sort of oval and circular shapes. Mm. And the screen itself is the type of material that you would use to put on a window to stop the insects coming in. And it's got a very small stitch size, so it's 17 stitches per inch, which means it takes a long time to make. And the smallest one would have taken me about a month, and then the large one about 3 months. So in total, it's about 18 months of the work. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's not a lot on the wall, but that's a lot of work behind
it.
It's
a lot of hours on the wall.
A lot of hours. Exactly. Now, the content of the work, well, the images of them come from screenshots of the sea in between Indonesia and Australia.
Yep.
And there were shots of sites where boats had capsized and people had lost their lives in that journey from the south coast of Java to Christmas Island. So in a sense, they're a kind of memorial to those deaths. And
very topical.
Yeah.
So commenting on political issues on a gallery wall is an important forum. Do you believe there's a social impact to your work?
That's a good question. I don't think that a single work can have a big social impact, although it's very encouraging to see that a lot of the artists in the triennial do look at social issues and political issues, and particularly the issue that related to migration, as we're seeing it in the world at the moment, and refugees. And but I'm also seeing it in the work of artists exhibiting at artist-run spaces in Melbourne. And as much as it was in Documenta too. So it's kind of like there's this culture of concern that's being developed by artists at the moment, and I think that that's really important because artists do influence mainstream culture eventually. So I feel as though if this culture of concern trickles into the mainstream, then perhaps there is that real chance for change.
Would you classify your work as activism? Would you go that far?
Well, activism can be so many different things, yeah, and I know there are even professional activists out there, so I don't perhaps see myself in that way an activist, but in the sense that it does contribute to this culture of concern, I think it is a form of activism, yes.
Yeah. I like that sort of, that wording, culture of concern. It's interesting. And your choice of thread as a medium seems very significant as a choice for a woman artist. Do you see it that way as well, and why?
Yes, yes and no. I do, I did come to me through my mother. She, when I was in my early teens, I used to watch a lot of television. And I think that she wanted to get me away from that. So she introduced me to needlepoint, knowing that it was something that involved using a lot of beautiful colours, and she knew I was sucked in by beautiful colours. Nice. So she got me into that. And I did make some fairly large pieces as a teenager. But I haven't really touched it until I was about 30, and then I started using it in my artwork occasionally. And I do, as you said before, use a lot of different media. But I think needlepoint is kind of my painting in a way. I'm not very good at painting. I've never really done much of that. I feel like I just, everything turns to mud really quickly. So with needlepoint, I can keep the colours very clean and clear and quite beautiful. So I really like the way that that happens. That I like that quality of needlepointing. So, you know, in a sense, it did come through my mother, but at the same time, it's just another medium for me now.
And your art seems to have a lot in common with design. How do you interpret this crossover?
Well, the crossover, I think, is natural and inevitable. Of course, I see art as coming out of design historically, so naturally there are going to be places where they do crossover. But in my work in particular, I'm very interested in communicating ideas, and I think that that's one of the important things for design as well. So perhaps that's where the main crossover is for me.
Yeah, I see your digital prints from 2004, another sort of medium you've worked in. They remind me a lot of April Grimen's work. Do you know her work?
Yes.
Yeah, she began experimenting with the Mac in the early 80s as something new to use in art and design in the US. Are you influenced by other designers who create data visualisations or generative art or infographics, that kind of work that you're doing now?
Yes, yes, I do remember the work of April Grimen, and I remember it as being really chaotic and messy.
Layered.
Yeah, that's right. And those works that I did in 2004, that was a series of digital prints called Governing Values, and it relied a lot on statistics. It ended up, I ended up using the statistics so that I could make these graphs with country shapes, and the graphs were dictated by the statistics. I really let those take control, so I had no control. I had no conscious design control. So it was really fun to let the data take over at that point. But there are a lot of really interesting designers that use data visualization in fascinating ways, and I'm particularly fascinated by the work of Marion Banchis, who's a Canadian designer, and she does very creative and detailed and amazingly generous work. And she, one thing I really love about her is that she's just fine with failing. You know, she'll talk about failure as if it's absolutely a necessary thing, and I really embrace that. I like that part of her work.
She does a lot of typographic kind of work.
She does,
Very detailed, beautiful. If you don't know her work, look it up. She's printed some books that were deliberately printed in this gold that would fleck off, so you would leave the book looking gold after sort of touching the pages that she'd designed on. And congratulations, by the way. Your work in the Trianella has been purchased by the NGV, as you mentioned, which is amazing. Yay! Again, to have a local woman in the collection is just great. You've got such a momentum in your career now. What's the next step?
Well, I'm a slow-moving artist. As you can tell, it took me 18 months to make eight pieces. So I'm just also slow at thinking of good ideas. I'm working on some needlepoints just as an experiment at the moment with no chart. So just seeing if I can work more abstractly and just seeing what happens. And at the moment, so while I'm doing that, I'm really just waiting for inspiration to come
up. Well, we were sort of brainstorming just before we came in, and I'm like, we should do something with the stats of the yes vote and compare it against women getting the vote in Melbourne and Australia and where we sit in the world in both of those. That could be beautiful.
Yeah, we should do a collaborative piece, Jane. That could
done,
work.
Done. How exciting. But I know David and Brendan were keen to jump in on the conversation and talk a bit more about the triennial. Join in, guys.
Well, going back to a little bit about your history, Louisa, you know, you've had sort of three distinct study moments in your life when it comes to art. You know, studying 1988 and then, really interestingly, going over to Chicago in 2004, 2006. So, you know, you've had three different sort of points in time where you've been studying and learning and crafting your own craft. Can you tell us a little bit about how those movements were different from each other? And when they've led to this moment in time?
Sure. It's actually, you're right, they're very clear and distinctive times in my life. I actually didn't even start my undergraduate study until I was in my mid-20s, so I'd already done a degree. So I guess I was just really, for that, finding out what I wanted to do. And then when I realised I really wanted to be an artist, I started undergrad. And after that, I sort of got on the track of the contemporary artist in Melbourne. I got my studio at Gertrude Street and started exhibiting, doing a lot of exhibits at Artist Run Spaces. And then eventually I showed a few pieces at ACCA at that time. And at the same time, I was thinking about how I wanted to move forward, and I decided to apply for a SAMSTAG, and I got a SAMSTAG to study. You know, I think you can study anywhere in the world that you get accepted at. And so I went to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, which was the best time of my life, undoubtedly. Not despite the fact that I met my husband in the first term there.
Which is a brutal ask when you're single when you went over.
So it was really a great time. And, you know, with the stipend, of course, I didn't have to work, and it was a great opportunity just to focus on the practice. But because I met Dan, we ended up spending a lot of time in the US. He's American. And so I spent the next 7 years in the US practicing, continuing my practice the whole time. But without the support of my, you know, my local community, so it was very much on my own. I did a few exhibitions, and then we decided to come back to Melbourne, and now I'm, you know, just starting to get back into the run of that and being a Melbourne artist again.
Are you sort of happy that it turned out that way, though, that you're kind of on your own, you had to really think on your feet and can be completely sort of independent at that point in time?
Yes. It's really interesting because I truly understood at that point how much support I'd been getting prior to leaving. It's such a fantastic community here in Melbourne, in the arts community. It's so supportive. And then when you're away from it, you just realise, oh my gosh, I'm totally on my own. But, you know, of course I kept up practising, which was really important too.
Now back to this triennial that you're very much part of. And, you know, like, how important is it for a local artist to be part of this major, major exhibition that's happening across the whole of NGV International, and the fact that, you know, like, then at the end of the day, the NGV has bought your collection as well. You know, like, tell, you know, because there's so many budding artists out there that listen to the show that, you know, like, this is a bit of a pinnacle, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Better than MoMA.
It is. And, you know, but I've been working so hard. You know, this is my 20th year of practicing as a professional artist. And so, I'm glad that it's come to this. I'm so thrilled that it's come to this, in fact.
It's a slow burn, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
It is. A lot of work to get to this point.
And Within the context of the whole exhibition, because it's across four levels, where are you and what's around you? Have you actually placed your pieces yet?
I understand that I'm on the third level, somewhere between the two main videos. I think there's a Candice Bright's video and another artist's got a big video, and then they're bookending a space, and I think that it's in that area.
Right. So when do you actually see your pieces hung?
On Friday, the media preview.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, and the number seems to be increasing. My first research was there was over 70 pieces. Now I'm reading there's over 100 pieces in the show. I don't know if it's going to keep growing once they do open it.
It's 100 artists, from 32 countries.
Right, incredible global survey, really, isn't it, of culture and perspective, I keep reading, that, we have our own backyard represented very well, very well. And are you going, David, to the opening on Friday? Yeah, cool. We'll have to keep talking more about it once we've all seen it, but this is a lovely insight and preview into what we can see. Thank you so much for coming in, Louisa.
It's been terrific. Thanks, Jane.
Really great talking to you. And this is Jane Connery on Broad Designs on Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9.